very honored
to return it. But you can really, he's operating for himself. He's not.
I have Rabbi Gordimer here,
who works in the OU milk production, I believe, in the capacity of the rabbinical coordinator for milk products of the OU. And we get to be inspired by some words about the relationship of milk and Shavuos, and we turn over to Rabbi Gordimer.
Thank you, Rav. Thank you for inviting me. We'll start maybe with we'll start talking about the halachas maybe of cheese, gavinas akum, talk about chalav akum, then hopefully we'll be able to squeeze in and drop out Shavuos. There's a lot to cover. If everyone also just, if you don't mind, please holding any questions, if you don't mind, because it just unfortunately, otherwise I went too far. Either way, the Gemara, actually the Mishnah in the Avodah Zarah on Chav Tesim Abayis, says that Chazal, the Chamim, they forbade the gavinos, among other foods, gavinos of Akum, gavinos of Lachim, non-Jews, Goyim, gavinos, their cheeses are forbidden. That's the Mishnah says. The Gemara and Daf Lamed Hey, starts discusses the reason for this prohibition. What's the reason? What are the reasons? So the Gemara, the Amoraim, have a bunch of reasons that they suggest or they put forward. One opinion is that cheeses or used to be coated with lard, with pig fat. In fact, actually, I met with the head of an English cheese company about 10 years ago in the OU office, and he brought these samples. I said, I can't eat the samples. He said, I understand that. And he said, this we have don't even touch. He said, don't even touch this, Rabbi. He said, this cheese is so non-kosher. I said, what's this? Why is it worse than other cheese? He says, this is coated with lard. That's why it's so shiny. That's for the gloss on it, the gloss. So they actually do that even today, apparently, in certain places. Something that preserves the cheese or something like that. But either way, that's one reason Gemara suggests. Other reason Gemara suggests is because of giloy, the milk left out overnight, because of the poisons, the health reasons of it. Another reason, the reason...
Is that worse than milk? Liquid milk?
This is probably the same. It'll be, I mean, not because of chalav akum, but because of the chashim,
smegs, poison,
poison, whatever it is.
Right.
The milk itself. The other reason mentioned the Gemara, Shmuel and the Gemara mentioned the famous reason that they use or cavus nivela, the rennet that's used, the enzyme that's used to set cheese, to make cheese, and put milk make cheese, traditionally comes from the stomach, the fourth stomach, the cava, called the abomasum in English, the cava, the fourth part of the stomach of an animal, a nivela animal. They still do it in a lot of certain places. They kill the animal and they grind up the stomach meat, and the stomach meat is rich with these enzymes, the enzyme rennet, and that's they put into the milk. And the rennet, by the way, you can't extract rennet enzyme. People think, they say, why do they have to slaughter the animal? Just take it out, just extract the vacuum or something. It doesn't work that way. The rennet enzymes are part of the flesh, so you have to use the animal meat if you want to make that type of cheese. That's a concern. That's they make cheese traditionally. It's still different places. There are many reasons mentioned by the mentioning Gemara. One reason is because they can use rennet coming from chomets, which is okay for wine vinegar, or from pears, which is orla, from orla fruits, or from orla fruit. Different reasons. So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch adopt the reason of Shmuel. They say the reason that the Chazal Aster, that we postulate, the Aster of these cheeses, is because of or keves tevela, because of flesh from the rennet of the stomach lining of non-kosher animal. That's the reason it's adopted. The Tor quotes all the reasons. He doesn't say Dafka one reason. He quotes all the reasons the Gemara mentions. Different reasons. There's a Tosfos that says, say the reason is Giloy. There's another different reason. Either way, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam adopt the reason of Orkei. That's the most popular reason. The reason of Shmuel and the Gemara. Why they forbade this cheese. That's the first thing to know. The question is, what is Gevinas Akum? What makes cheese Gevinas Akum? People might not know, when we buy cheeses today, unless you buy cheeses, it's really made cheeses. The cheeses today are not made by Jews. They're made in non-Jewish companies. They're made in large companies, whether it's all the Hashgachas agencies from the OU to the Hasidic ones, they all make them non-Jewish companies. So why are these cheeses not Gevinas Akum? B'chara, all cheeses should be Gevinas Akum, so they should all be permitted. So there's a famous machlokes, the machlokes, the Ramon the Shach. It's really machlokes Rishonim, but the Ramon the Shach. What makes cheese Gevinas Yisrael? So the Ramon says, Hashgacha, Re'iyah, when the Yehudi, having the Mashiach, having a Jew, watch cheese making to make sure the enzyme put in is not coming from Orkavis nevela, not trefa enzyme. Maybe it's a kosher enzyme, it's a synthetic, a microbial enzyme like they use today, whatever. make sure that it's a kosher enzyme put in the cheese. That's what you need. You need re'iyah. Hashgacha, visual, physical supervision, standing there watching the cheese being made, verifying that the recipe put in is kosher. That's what the Ramah says. And Rav Moshe finds that that's the Ikra Din, the noted Yehuda paskins that way. That's the Pirshon Shnayos and the Rambam paskins that way. Now, that's how many paskin that way. That's what you need, re'iyah.
It doesn't have to come from a kosher animal?
Either it has to be rennet that has, either it's synthetic rennet, or the rennet from a kosher animal that has been in the siyabish ke'et, it's totally been dehydrated, totally, no moisture, so it becomes basically not a, it's a shechta, then they dehydrate it totally. But that's, it would either be that, or it would be a synthetic rennet. Get rennet from other things besides animals, but there are other places for rennet as well. But that's what the Ramah says. You need re'iyah to make sure that the cheese making was done with only kosher ingredients, kosher rennet. However, the Shach holds that no, you need a siyah. The Jew has to actually put the rennet into the vat, into the milk, vat and milk to make the cheese. That's how you make kosher cheese. You need a siyah, you need a maisa. And the Lagon, the Gra, has a quote, the Tosefta, he quotes from in, where is it, in the Vodazara, that compares Gavinas Akum to Pas Akum and to Bishul Akum. And so the Gra says, he says that you see there by Pasakum, to make something Pas Yisrael, the Jew doesn't just watch it. The Jew has to light the fire. The Jew has to throw something into the fire, whatever it is. For Bishul Yisrael, the Jew has to turn the fire on or has to cook the food. He can't just watch it. The Mashiach doesn't watch it. Mashiach lights the fire. He puts the food on the fire, whatever he has to do. So the Gross says the same thing. Same here. You need a siyah. The Jew has to actually put in the rennet to make the cheese. So that's the sheet of the Shach. The sheet actually, the Rambam and the Yad HaChazakah seem to say the same thing. The Chaznish is Medayik, the Rambam is the same thing, Yad HaChazakah. Some other Rishonim say the same thing, other Rishonim, whether it's a Re'iyah like the Ramah or a Siyah like that. Then the Tanit Achronim, the Chachmasan and Paskins like the Shach, not like the Ramah. The Paskins need a real Siyah, and the Aruch HaShulchan seems to as well. So the Machlokas posting from the Ramosha says the Ikra Din is Re'iyah, just watching it, that's all you need. There's one in Ramah, there's a Shach, the Shach a little bit further on. This is in Yordaya, in Kuf Tesbov Sifbeis. In Yordaya, he says, if the Jewish owner of this cheese, you don't need anything. You don't need anything, because the whole gzera is on cheese made by a non-Jewish cheese company, cheese proprietor, cheese maker. But if it's coming from the Jewish farm, farm making his own cheese, and he has workers who aren't Jewish making the cheese, Shach says, don't worry about it, not a problem. There's a riot, the Machaber, and the Shabbos says this whole the same way. But either way, that is as it is. Derech Agav, there was a cheese company under the OV, the Vod of St. Louis, a good Vod many years ago. There's a cheese company they used to certify, owned by a firm family. Since then, they sold the cheese company, but they used to make blue cheese. This cheese company, the legend is, that wasn't kosher business at the time, that the Vod there, they just had Yosef Nechnas. They did not have Mashiach Tamidi for this cheese making. It was owned by firm Jews, and firm Jews were around. They didn't have to, weren't watching every second, but since it would be going like the Shach. And people don't dispute the Shach. So far, since don't say the same thing. Today you don't find it. Today the cheese companies that today make cheese, at least outside of Eretz Yisrael, they're all non-Jewish cheese companies.
Was that cheese considered Chol of Yisrael, or was
that was not. We'll get to that in a minute. That was not Chol of Yisrael. That was Chol of Sam, Chol of Akum, whatever cheese with it was Gevinas Yisrael. There are two separate good points. Two separate halachas. One halacha is Gzeir of Gevinas Akum. Gevinas Akum is forbidden, and that and almost everyone paskin is almost and this, that's the halacha. Even if a person eats. If a person drinks Chol of Stam, a person buys whatever milk, Hebrew brand milk, whatever milk it would be, for the cheese, though, he has to buy cheese that is Gevinas Yisrael, Miller's cheese, whatever it is, Migdal cheese. It's not Chol of Yisrael cheese, but the cheese has Mashkiach at the making of the cheese. That is a requirement. That's a requirement. Even if a person drinks Chol of Stam, but the cheese, there's no such thing as Gevinas Stam. Gevinas has to be Gevinas Yisrael. And that's a very big nafkamin in terms of level of supervision. How is Chol, we'll get into a little bit, how is Chol of Yisrael supervised? So the halacha is, this is in Yordaya Kuf Tesvav Sif Aleph, where a mother says that the Mashiach has to be at the Tchila Sachalim, the Mashiach must be there at the beginning of the milking. Why must the Mashiach be there when the milking starts? He has to be there to inspect the equipment. He has to make sure that the milking pails, the milking pipe, and the pipe the milk flows through, everything is clean. There's no residue of the Chol of Akum, Chol of Sam, whatever, on the equipment. Everything is cleaned out, the holding tank, everything is clean. Sofa chaliva has to be there as well, of course, the end of the chaliva, to seal it up, because chalav requires a chosim, requires a seal. If you buy chalav Israel milk or whatever, it's sealed. Halachically, you can't just go into a place and they pour some empty milk and the person says, Rabbi, this is chalav Israel. No, it has to be a chosim on it. So milk is fine. But what about more than that? So Shach says that chalav, to make milk chalav Israel, kosher milk, has to be yotziv, has to have Mashiach yotziv nechtas. Mashiach doesn't have to wash all the time. He has to be yotziv nechtas. He has to be entering, coming and going out unannounced. So they're always on guard. So they're not going to take milk that's other milk and pour it into the Chol of Israel milk. So Rebelsky told me that that Rav Schwab, when they set up the KJ Hechsher on the for the Olam products, Rav Schwab, probably told to Rebelsky, I assume directly, because Rebelsky wouldn't have said something that was verifiable. But apparently, they required at least one visit in the middle of the chaliva. They have the mashiach at the beginning of the milking, mashiach at the end to seal up the milk, seal up the milk tankers and everything like that, and at least one unannounced visit in the middle, and that fulfills the requirement of the shach having yotziv v'nichnas.
What are we afraid of? They're going to mix kosher milk.
If it's chalav Israel, any milk that's not supervised is chalav akum, chalav stam. It can't be mixed in. If you go to most of
the goat milk.
Yeah, I mean even a cow milk, if it's not supervised, it doesn't have the din of chalav Israel milk. If there's a problem with chalav akum, it will be mixed in non-kosher milk. So that's the situation.
So if you know they don't have it in the factory, where are they going to get it from?
These usually farms. These usually are farms, non-Jewish farms, mm-hmm. And they'll send the sheikh from there. The farms, the rest of the milk they make there is non-supervised milk, so that would be considered non-halachim, whatever it would be called. Mm-hmm. But that's that. Today, just in terms of the mitzias, normally today at the Halvishville farms, I haven't been to them in many years, but I've been to a number of them several years ago. I used to deal with them directly. There, the farms actually have mashichim that are mashichim tamidim or kemat tamidim. What I mean is as follows. These farms are all in very remote areas. There's no such thing like there used to be. It used to be that you'd have a milk plant, a milk, like a factory, that bottle would pasteurize the milk, and they'd have a farm attached to the factory. They have that in some places, most places not. But today, the farms are in the most remote areas. They're not near anything, not near civilization. They're not near where Mashiachim are going to be living. So it's impossible to have Mashiach going from his home, but he'll step in, take a drive over for a few minutes, and then check out the milk and come back throughout the day. It's not possible. So if the Mashiach, basically, once he's at the Chol Vishol farm, he's going to be staying there. It's impossible. And the milking, he has to be there again, for every milking session. Rebelsky told me this was every time when they have the cows go in, take certain time to milk them, cows go out, they clean the equipment, more cows come into the room called the milking parlor, they milk them more. Every milking session, every chaliva has to have this system. Tchilas chaliva, emtsa chaliva, at least one visit, and so forth. So it's not practical to have mashichim coming in and from going in and out. So all these places now, they all have mashiach residence, the mashichim live there like in an apartment or something like that. They live in the farms, and that's how they do it. There's one farm I went to, and the Hisach, I was under Sabra Hisachis, and other Hisham as well, and the Hisach invented something, a buzzer. So the Mashiachim had to be present. They could not be off the premises for more than 20 minutes at a time. They had that rule. That was implemented there. Okay. Just going back, though, we'll go back to hopefully the milk afterwards. A lot
video
of things.
Cameras don't work, huh?
What is it?
Video
oh,
cameras.
I was going to get to that. Okay, I'll do that now. Yeah. So cameras. That's a big machlokus about video cameras. In Chutz Laaretz, video cameras are typically not used for Chol V'Shvil milk. If you buy Golden Flow milk or Pride of the Farm milk, and they sell it out of Baltimore, it's very good milk, by the way, or whatever milk, there's mashichim, usually a team of them, rotating at the farms physically there. Cameras are not usually used. There are some Israeli milk companies, probably under the Rabbanut, I would assume, that I was told they do have cameras. Machlok is posting about whether cameras work or not. But it boils down to two issues, to a tzias issue and a halachic issue. Halachic issue, I'll deal with first. Halachically, the question is, Chazal says in the Gemara, that this is the Mishnah, in the Avodah Zarah, in the Mishnah, that milk has to have Yisrael Roahu. Yisrael, Yehudi, has to supervise the milk. Right? This is, forget about Chol V'Stam, assuming there's no government supervision, assuming we're talking about a primitive, that's a separate story, but assuming a place in which there's, the regular milk is non-kosher, you have to have Yisrael there. So what does that mean, Yisrael Roahu? Does it mean full yediyah, full verification, and therefore cameras are good? Cameras, the theory, they should be good. Or no, it means physical presence of a mashgiach, physically present. That's the din. They're masak, and the rule, the mashgiach must be there. That was true. You might have the same information without him being there, but that's the rule. He must be there. Like it's Hilsevayim. One reason the kiyas. Well, my hands are really clean. I have to wash. No, you have to look at tzakan, you have to wash. It's Hilsevayim before you eat. Same thing. They're masak in this way, Yisrael Roe. You have to have Yisrael there. Or no, it just means a total re'iyah of viewing of it. The video cameras, why not? That's the first question. Second question about this post-game is as follows. There's a Metzias issue, which is that you have to see Chazal when they talked about Chalav Akum, about the Hashgacha required. The question is not simply whether they're gonna, the milk you're getting is become 100% from a donkey or from a camel versus from a cow or from a goat or whatever it is. That would be Ma'ariv milk, mixing milk in. Even if there's milk mixed in, this non-kosher milk, it would be a problem. Even if it's mostly cow milk and there's other milk steeped into it, that's a problem as well. Therefore, a lot of these farms, you can't just have a camera just watching the cow being milked, because that milk travels through pipes, it goes into holding tanks, the holding tanks are transferred into tanker trucks that bring it out to a dairy, they're going to be pasteurized and put into bottles. There's so many connections, there's so many ports that you can insert milk into the system. So you'd have to have a camera, foolproof basically, videos, and videos have to be monitored. It can't just be like, if there are cameras there, and once in a while somebody will check them, maybe they're turned on. No, assuming they're being watched at the office of the kashrut agency, you have to make sure every single port of entry that milk can get into the system, whether it's through the cows, or whether it's into the holding tank through connecting other pipes and so on, camera monitoring, surveying everything. So there's a lot to cover. So that's why just technically to do it requires these. It's not just you can't just take a just put a camera there like a security camera. It checks who comes to the door. You might require 15 different cameras or whatever. It's all types of angles and somebody watching them on a consistent basis. It's a lot of work to do. And if you're not doing it properly, then everything is gone. So that's just another concern that some have as to why they don't want to rely on cameras, because they just feel that it's too big of a risk, too technical to do, to do it right.
Also, isn't there a danger that they could forge the, have fake cameras to, they'll have, in one place, they'll have cameras which are allegedly watching it open, they might have some non-kosher milk, if you want to be suspicious, coming in a place and they just not have the camera.
Oh. I see. Well, I'm assuming the kosher agency just put the cameras in. They install their own cameras, like the rabbis come and they set up a whole video system in the facility. So the rabbis they install the cameras. They're in charge of the videoing and all the stuff. It's aval pichen. It's a lot to cover properly. So there's another famous machlokus posthum is as follows. What type of cheese does Gevinas Akum apply to? So Gevinas Akum certainly applies to what we call hard cheeses, cheddar cheese, mozzarella cheese. I mean hard, that it's like a brick, like aged cheese, 10 years old aged cheese, gonna hurt. But cheese is made with rennet cheeses. The reason is because rennet cheeses, assuming that we pass them like the Ram Mashachara, that the reason of Shmuel, that Orkevis the Veil, a tray for animal rennet, is the reason for this gezeira of cheese. So these cheeses all use rennet enzyme to make the cheese. That's how they're made. What about
as a consumer, I always have problems, for example, like you wait only a certain amount of hours for soft cheese.
Yeah, okay,
So
these cheeses, rennet cheeses, the body, the gezeira is there, because they're grosser against cheeses that use rennet. They have to make sure the rennet being used is synthetic, is microbial rennet, or there's rennet coming, there are types of sources of rennet, it's another discussion. What about cheese that don't use rennet? There are a lot of cheeses that don't use rennet, they don't need rennet. Cream cheese, cottage cheese, pot cheese, farmer's cheese, quark, all these types of baker's cheese, they don't need rennet. These are cheeses that are made through acidification. They take ricotta cheese, fresh ricotta from milk. Ricotta cheese, they take acid or acid cultures. They can use vinegar. They can use acetic acid. They use cultures from culture companies that acidify the milk. And these acidifying the milk, that makes the cheese. There's no rennet. Sometimes these are rock rennet to harden it up. You don't need rennet. You don't need rennet to make these cheeses. And there's no rennet at all. What about these cheeses that don't rennet the cheeses? Were they all goes on them or not? That is a Machlokus, the post came as well. According to, there's a Rav Moshe Feinstein, he famous tshuva, a tshuva to Rav Schwab actually, about these cheeses. I think first a cottage cheese, right? Some Yiddish cottage cheese there. And Rav Moshe says, he says he sees the reason, he sees the rationale to be matarist, because there's no, the whole concern is for cheese that use rennet. That's what their gozer. And here, this cheese doesn't, rennet's not used in cheese. It's not a cheese that the concern even pertains. It doesn't, so therefore, it's a different type of food. It's an ochel, meichel, acher, Rav Moshe says. He says, however, though, he says, Amy yochel hatir, I can't be matarist. It's a machlok, it's a shayla. Rav Moshe says, I cannot be matarist. He was a sub, left there as a shayla. He says, "He's aim limchos those who use the, who have these cheeses, who eat these cheeses with a hashkacha, but no mashkiach tzmidi, watching the cheese being made, watching them put the acid cultures into the milk to make the cream cheese." He says, "Any yochel lahakel, I cannot be makel." That's what he told Rav Schwab. Rav Moshe quotes Gaonim shehiti ruha, or Gaonim who are matirit. Rebelsky told me that was Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin, it's not. I don't think it's, we don't have written shuv on this. Other posts came later on have written this, but Henkin is the balpet. Rav Henkin though held. Like the Rav Moshe's suggestion, the considerers, which is that since these cheeses don't use rennet, they don't need rennet, there's no concern, there's no need for it to be Gevinas Israel. As long as the ingredients are kosher, as long as the culture is kosher, and they use gums and stuff, and the equipment is kosher, and you don't worry about the Mashiach being there the whole time for it. Whatever it is, that's all you need. So that's the other shita. This actually is a machlokas as well, going back earlier. The Chachmas Adam and the Achas and the Aruch HaShulchan, they both actually are machmer on this. And today, the way it works on Isa is that the Chol of Yisrael companies, they actually are machmer as well. They had their mahadr, they are machmer. They had, if you buy, Normans and Kiva Normans, Polish folk cream cheese or J&J cream cheese from Mahadran, they have the Mashkiach putting in the acid cultures into the vat. They will be doing that for these cream cheeses. If you buy Philadelphia cream cheese under the OK's Cholostam or Breakstone cream cheese, they're not their makel. The minig normally is for Chol Yisrael products to be called the Chumra Cholostam, they go the Kula. That's how usually it is.
So there's no Chol Yisrael cheeses, soft cheeses that are not Gevinas Yisrael?
Yeah, they're all machmer. Yeah, at least last I don't deal with these companies.
Even Eretz Yisrael, to your knowledge?
Please.
Even in Eretz Yisrael.
As long as it's a Mahadran Hashkacha, it'll be, they should be Mach. Body in America, I assume they're still as well in Mach.
Because in Eretz Yisrael, you have a lot of things that are called Yisrael just because they use milk from Eretz Yisrael.
Right. I assume if it's Badats, I'm sure Badats, I can't imagine they would, Badats or Orlando, or I can't imagine if they're not going to be Machmer on this. So that's that Mach focus. There are certain cheeses.
Do all cheeses need some sort of external agent to get it to curdle, or can it curdle naturally?
Oh, good question. So let me get good. It can in theory, but I'll explain it actually. This is a little bit of I'll just go into not a scientist, but just the basic science of this for a second, so we can just get a handle based on the metzias, what's going on there physically. So when milk, the Kodesh Baruch Hu created milk basically is composed of two types. The main protein milk is called casein, C-A-S-E-A-N, casein. And that's why Yiddish, the word is kez, and in German it's kas, I think, kas or kas. Casein, C-A-S-E-A-N, the main protein milk. And if you make cheese, the cheese basically is a matrix of casein protein and fat globules. And there's also a lot of fat globules that are Kodesh Baruch Hu endowed milk. We have all these different components, and those are the two largest components in milk. What happens normally in milk, in order to make casein structure, in order to make casein, take it out of the milk, out of liquid, make it into cheese, in order to form it into a matrix, to form it into a structure, there are two ways to do that. Either, I'm just skipping a lot of the details of it, either through an enzyme, you can enzymatically do that. Casein has what's called kappa casein. Casein has a cover. Every casein particle has a cover on it called kappa casein, the cover of the casein, and it makes casein not stick together. If you remove the cover, casein internally is like, it's very gelatinous, like pieces of balls of dough. And if you can take the cover off casein, they will clump together and form together and entrap that with them. That's what cheese is. So when you make rennet set cheese, the rennet enzyme, the rennet enzyme is miraculous. The whole function of rennet is that it cleaves the kappa casein cover off the casein particle. So the casein particles will all stick together. It's a miraculous thing. The more you see these things, the more the miraculous things, the structure of the milk. It's amazing, wondrous, the flow of Bore. The other way to get casein to coagulate together is through acidification. Because when Hashem made milk so that casein would be equally distributed throughout milk, so milk would always have protein distributed throughout it, it would always be, have the protein normally, wouldn't separate out of it, is that the to acidify it, because casein has a negative electric charge. Casein particles have negative electric charges, and they repel each other, and therefore they're distributed throughout milk evenly because they can't clump together. But if you neutralize the charge, then the casein particles can clump together. They can stick together, and then you can just take them out, scoop them out, and you have cheese. You have casein, and fat goes with it, and that's cheese. And that's what acid set cheese is, like cottage cheese and cream cheese. Cream cheese, they have a lot of gums to make them form and make them hard. But
they still have the capsaicin on it?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yeah, that has not been removed, exactly. So that's what happens here. So those are the two types of cheese in terms of rennet cheese and acid cheese. Now, in terms of waiting after cheese, Baruch has a waiting after cheeses. So there's a three-way machlokas postkim also, modern day postkim, which cheeses have to wait. Probably much shuas, I guess this will be the shuas part, and sorry, the time is running short. But this, there's a halacha, it's actually, I don't know if it's part of the machmer on this, actually, I should have done it. The Ramoah, the machaber, the Beis Yosef quotes this, Yosef has this himself in the Torah, but in the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, the machaber does not bring this, but the Ramoah brings this, which is after having gevina kasha, after having hard cheese, to wait. I mean, to wait, the equivalent you wait is if you wait before you, after hard cheese before meat, you treat it as if you had meat before you had milk. You have to wait after hard cheese. Mm-hmm. That's the minhag that we've accepted from the Ramah, and it's fine to keep it as well. Okay, from Beis Yosef, he has it in Beis Yosef in the Torah. So what kind of cheese does this apply to? So before we even get to that, we have to know why we're waiting. Why are we waiting? So there are two reasons brought in postkin. One reason to wait brought in postkin. These two reasons actually reflect the reasons we wait after meat, before milk. The Rambam says that we wait because of Basar Ben Hashinayim. Rambam says this because meat that's stuck between the teeth. Rambam says you have to wait 6 hours to assume whatever meat was stuck in the mouth has dislodged in that amount of time, is no longer there, or is no longer of any significance. And then you can have milk afterwards. Something it's around 6 hours, sometimes 3 hours, 1 hour, whatever the amount of time. Around the whole six, whatever it is, it is. That's the reason. Basar Ben Hashinayim. That's one reason to wait. The other reason to wait for milk after having meat is Rashi. Rashi in Chulin says the Mashichas Tam, because of aftertaste. There's a strong taste. The shuman, the fattiness of meat, the fattiness of meat stays in the mouth for a long time. You have to wait a certain amount of time. Rashi doesn't say how long it is. Most of there is a very, very brief amount of time, if anything. Between the suda la suda. You have to wait for this fatty residue, fatty aftertaste, whatever, to go away after having meat before you can have milk. So these are two reasons. These two reasons are carried forth centuries later to the poskim who discuss the opposite, waiting after cheese before having meat. If the reason is, and we all actually like both reasons. If the reason is because of Basar Ben Hashinayim, you have residue, they say very hard meat, assuming it's hard meat, whatever, whatever, it stays in the teeth for a while. So therefore, cheeses that are equal in texture, have a very hard texture, brittle or hard texture, you have to wait for as well afterwards. We'll get back to that hopefully in a moment. That's one reason. Cheeses that are hard cheeses, aged cheese, hard cheese, to wait. Second reason is Mashiach's Tam, flavor, like Rashi, the Shuman, the taste of the fattiness of the product in your mouth. For that, many postkims say that for those cheeses that have a very, very pungent taste, you have to wait for afterwards as well. Even if they're not hard cheeses, they might be soft. You have to wait afterwards. Mm. Afterwards as well. So let's just apply this quickly. I guess we'll wrap up here. There's a three-way machlokas postkim as to in terms of hard cheese, the Basar Ben Hashinayim, waiting after cheese is very hard textured. What cut cheese is talking about? One extreme is Rav Heinemann from Baltimore, from the Star K, who says that his Rebbe, Warren Cutler, said this. Rav Heinemann must have been a teenager at the time, actually, a number of years that would count how it would have been. But he said that Warren Cutler either told him or said publicly at the time, maybe in Shir or whatever, that only cheeses which are so brittle that if you try to cut them, they will just like crumble. They're so brittle. There are cheeses like that. If you get, say, a very aged cheddar, they're cheddar cheeses, not a regular cheddar, not even a sharp cheddar, but a very aged cheddar. You can buy cheddars. I mean, they're not kosher forms of these normally, but you can get cheddar 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10-year-old cheddars you can buy. You can get, there's a Parmesan cheese called Parmigiano, made in Italy, and they have a form made in South America, and it's aged at least two years. And this cheese you cannot slice. If you cut it, it's just going to crumble. They only sell it as shreds and crumbles, and you can't grate it. It'll just break up if you cut it. So Rav Heinemann said that's what it has to be. Only these exceptional cheeses that are so brittle, they're just going to grate and crumble if you try to, you can't slice them. The other extreme is, and there's a posting who used to give hashgacha, he required this on his products. That, you know, the posting say the shach, they mentioned the other person, they say around 6 months. Around 6 months is called age. So they say any cheese that has been that 6 months since is produced, you have to wait. Therefore, if you know the date it was manufactured, wait 6 months later, and you have to wait. That's the other shita. That's very, very. That's a pretty strict shita, because any cheese, even if the cheese is not a grilled cheese, if it's a regular cheese, I mean, certain cheeses are not going to last. And mozzarella cheese is not going to last. It'll become rancid because it's cooked after it's made. But a lot of cheeses, if they're 6 months, 6 months from the time they're manufactured, so you buy them, they could very well be. You have to wait. The middle shita, which seems to be the most posted, those posts can hold this way actually. This seems to be the main halach, is only cheeses that are meant to be, that the way you make that cheese is to make it, to age it intentionally 6 months. Only those cheeses you have to wait 6 months or more. So therefore, if you make, say, a Parmesan, Parmesan by law has to be aged 10 months in America or more. In Europe, it's the same, if not more. Switzerland Swiss cheese, not American. Swiss made in Switzerland, it's always aged 6 months, usually more, usually 10 months or 12 months. Romano cheese is aged 5 to 7 months. These types of cheeses that, by definition, you can't make this cheese. You can't even label it that way. It's not called this type of cheese unless you age it that long. Those are the cheeses that you have to wait for. Even if it's not so brittle that you can't slice it, you can maybe even slice it. But it's meant to be a very hard cheese. That's just the texture, the intentional way it was made. Those cheeses you have to wait for. That's seems to be the most postings say that way. We have, you on our website, we have a list of the age cheese list we have. If there's a star next to each cheese, you have to wait for. There aren't so many of them. The other one, the other side is a little more interesting, a little, you know, different, which is Mashiach's Tam, which is a very pungent taste. So Rudelsky told me, he said, when I was talking about it a while ago, he said that, most cheeses say, of course, you're not gonna find this by. They're not so pungent. Like, say, sharp cheddar. Sharp cheddar doesn't mean it's sharp, like it's gonna burn your tongue or so pungent. It just has more flavor. I mean, regular cheddar is a pretty mild cheese. It doesn't mean sharp, like Mashiach, it's so potent that I need to take a drink of water after it means to, it's not going to burn the tongue, it's not going to be so strong. It's a technical term, sharp cheddar, right? But for our cheese that are very pungent, for instance, Danish blue cheese. Rudelsky told me that type of cheese, you might have to wait, even though it's only aged like 2 or 3 months, it's not aged so long at all. It's salt, you can even spread it actually. It's meant to be, blue cheese culture in it, penicillin culture, and it's a form of blue cheese, but it's meant to be so potent, so pungent, its taste. That he said that after that he feels you could very well have to wait. It depends upon certain Danish blue cheeses are more mild than others, but if it has a very pungent taste, you notice it, he said you should wait. Mostly he remembers he was a little boy in the Lower East Side with his father. He said they used to have, and they had all the kosher cheeses in this outdoor kosher markets, whatever. He said they used to have kosher Limburger cheese, which is this terribly smelly, you can smell like a mile away. I wouldn't want to get near it, but Belkin said, it was delicious. That cheese said you have to definitely wait after. That's very pungent. That's notoriously pungent. Cheeses like that, but cheeses that are very pungent have to wait. But again, cheeses that are not aged, and if there's no noticeable pungency, then there's no need to wait. There is a halacha, though, well, maybe we should finish with this, we have one with the Meyer or whatever, is that from transitioning, this applies in Shavuos, maybe more, from all of these exotic cheeses, between milchiks and fleishiks. The halacha is that you need kinuach and hadacha, and also washing your hands. You have to clean your mouth, you have to rinse your mouth. Clean your mouth means eating something, bread or something like that, something that's going to, many say brushing the teeth, but if you're assuming that, let's say you're eating food, whatever it is, eating something that's going to, that if it would clean the palate, clean the mouth out, well, not just having, the Shmar said, not having, you know, you can't just have something that's, like so not having such vegetables or having tomorrow or flour. That's just something that you bite on it, chew on it sufficiently that it would, it's not going to obviously be microscopically clean, but it's basically clean the mouth there. Well, mouth has to be rinsed, and you have to wash your hands. And of course, clean the tablecloth, change the tablecloth, and so forth. That's the condition. The person, like the, I was looking at the brewer right before we went for this year, for the shtey alecha, why do we have milk finish, I guess, for this? Sorry. In terms of milk finish, so many reasons are brought. One famous reason is, the reason that they bring is that B'nai Yisrael, when they received the Torah, so they didn't have, you have to shech, you can't eat raw meat, you have to cook the meat, and the kalim they had, they didn't have kosher kalim, this is dinder rice, it's in the Torah, so they have, therefore, milk's available, have cold milk, cold dairy foods, they could have that. Another reason is the Harsinah called Gavnunim, relates to the word Gavina, cheese, many reasons are brought. Look in the Sefer HaTadah, I think he brings a bunch of reasons there. But the reason the Ramah brings is because, just like on Pesach, we have We have the two foods. We have the beitz and the zroa. We have the zecher, the korban chagiga, and korban pesach. The two different foods. So two on shavuos to commemorate the shtei alechem, the two bread that were brought in the beis hamikdash on shavuos. We have milking inflation. Which we're saying, what does that mean? It means that in order to have two bread to commemorate the shtei alechem brought in the beis hamikdash, we have to do something that necessitates having two breads. Which means those who have the minhag requirement. That we have pila milchigs, and then bread eaten with dairy, you can't eat that bread with meat. You can't eat the same bread, you eat the same bread with dairy and meat. So after that, you're going to have to have a second bread, which you'll eat, and you clean your mouth out with that bread. And that second bread would enable you to have inflation, to have meat food. So that's basically what's going on. Have a good job. Good job.
Let's get a message. We need one more.
What's the government
Our sinai's referred to Har Gadnunim in Piyutim. It's definitely referred that way. I think I forgot where else it is, but
Tehillim.
Tehillim.
What's the connotation of the word
Gadnunim
in
Pashas? I don't remember. I'm sorry. I apologize. There are other reasons also that are brought, by the way. They're all suggestions. It's all very elusive. Nothing is. You know, this is the reason. There's all suggestions. All brought suggestions.
When we're talking about Kol Stam, mm-hmm. That's going to allow Gvinos Akum.
That's right, right. Gvinos Akum is a separate
thing. What's the line between things that are Kol Stam and Gvinos Akum?
I'm not sure what it is.
Sorry, like what types of things, so like cream cheese.
Right.
I could eat if it's Kol Stam.
So if you Kol Stam, you can buy Philadelphia cream cheese, even though
that's
a soft cheese.
That's
not a rennet, that's cheese. So since it doesn't require rennet, many posts can say that it doesn't require it to be, like, or hanging different than that, wouldn't require it to be.
So it's interesting. So some would say maybe we hold you can drink milk, which is Kol Stam. But we're machmir for, you know, Tosos, who says that, worried that it's giggly. So they would, right?
That's a good question. That seems to apply both to milk and to cheese. That's a good question. I'm not sure how that would work out. Yeah, that right.
That's assuming the reason is gilui,
Right, exactly. And most of them believe it's all gilui. Right? Most don't even hold it's gilui. That toasters hold that way. Right? Most don't hold it's gilui.
Isn't Rav Moshe's Tshuva talking about that aspect of gilui? Isn't that taking that into account with the FDA standards or whatever it is?
The gila is mentioned for gavina. We're not talking about for chaliva, making sure it's not chalav behemah tameya.
Waiting after hard cheeses and analogous to basha bein hashinayim and waiting. For both reasons.
Yeah. Mshichatam, basha bein hashinayim and mshichatam, both of them.
To become gvinus yisrael, you need a mashgiach tamidi. So. A non-Chol V'Yisrael cheese, they have Mashgiach Tamidi there?
Yeah, 100%.
So then why... Okay.
Yeah, it's much cheaper. The milk is... It's a cheese company, like the Miller's cheese. They use the same Mashgiach. Olam and Miller's owned by the same... World Cheese owns them both. And they schedule it. They schedule first Olam, then they schedule Migdal and Miller's right afterwards. So they keep the Mashgiach in there. They just... The cheese company
provides... The only difference is just where the milk comes from.
Exactly, right. It's much cheaper. They don't have to pay for bringing a tanker of milk from a farm or Chol V'Yisrael. They just... The tanker of milk is provided by the cheese company. They just deal with them.
So the actual cheese process... The actual cheese process is the same, and just the Chol V'Yisrael farm is going to have a Mashgiach over there.
Yeah, that's the only difference. Same Mashgiach from him, Rav Moshe.
Well, I guess Kalia, that's not rennet based.
It is rennet based. They have Mashgiach, living. Wow. They have Mashgiach house. I don't live with them.
What kind of cheese?
It's this new cheese under Palio.
It's like a non-Jewish company, but I guess.